Welcome to the Getting Vulnerable podcast. Getting vulnerable saved my life, and I'm here to help you save yours. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Getting Vulnerable podcast. Thanks so much for being here with me. And today I wanted to share my own personal perspective on the question of, can you get over anxiety? And what works and what doesn't work. Now, it's really, really important to know that this, everything that I share, everything that I advise or invite you to do is based on my own lived experience perspective of battling with anxiety for over 20 years. And today marks the day that I'm recording this, marks the day, 5 years, that I am out the other side of anxiety. On the 12th of April 2018 at 11:02, I found the root cause to my anxiety after all this deep work that I did, you know, on myself, and it has completely transformed my life in every single aspect. And a year after this moment, I spent, you know, going back and looking and piecing together exactly what I had done so that I can teach it to other people, so that I can guide other people on the same journey. So please know that I am not a trained medical professional in anxiety. However, I have lived and breathed it for over 20 years and I'm 5 years out the other side. So please know that. Again, like, I just need to reiterate that everything I share, I teach, I guide, I talk about is from my own personal experience. And so today, the question that I know so many ask is, like, can you ever get over anxiety? Can I get over anxiety? And what works and what doesn't? So I'm going to take you through my own journey as best I can in this short amount of time on what worked for me, what I did, what didn't work for me. And my answer to the question of, can you get over anxiety? My answer is yes. Yes, you can. And that is coming from, again, 5 years being out the other side. And I did the work, and it's like, I literally have no words to describe, because I got to that point where I was like, I have to live with this for the rest of my life. That my perspective is, you can get to the other side of anxiety, out the other side of anxiety. You can get over anxiety. And so, you know, how did my journey start? Was if you've been a long time listener, you may know. If you've been following me on Instagram, you may know. But for any newbies that are here or that have just tuned in, I got to rock bottom. I got to a really bad place where I didn't like who I was, who I was becoming. I was exhausted. You know, I had got to this point of trying all the traditional methods. And so I'm going to walk you through what I've done over, you know, during these 20 years plus of, you know, battling anxiety. And so for me, I didn't realize how bad my anxiety was until I got out the other side, until I also got to a point of, you know, worrying about every single thing of every single day, and it would just consume my energy. It would exhaust me. It was having really bad, you know, effects on my relationships, on my friendships, you know, on my relationship with myself, on my ability to adventure, my ability to try new things, my ability to live, to fully live. You know, I got to this point of acknowledging that I was, you know, in this world of just pleasing other people or trying to fit into this box, but I didn't even know what the box looked like, but it was like the box of society, the box of trying to live your life, however that looks. And I guess I started, you know, started the journey into figuring out, like, what's wrong with me or I need help, was when I hit rock bottom and my anxiety kind of turned into depression. And so I went from being this human you know, worrying about every single thing, you know, overanalyzing, overthinking, text messages, emails, how I was coming across, what I was wearing, what I was buying at the shops. People were looking at me. If I was buying something, I would, you know, be anxious about strangers judging me. You know, like so many things. Cushions, you know, how my cushions were placed on the couch. If I didn't have toilet paper in the toilet roll holder in case someone come over and they're going to think, oh, look, Lou can't even fucking, you know, have spare toilet paper in her toilet. Like, honestly, it was ridiculous. I was getting anxious about what my partner would think of me, what my closest friends were thinking about me, saying about me, like everything. It was crippling. Yet I was living. I was, you know, trying to tick all the boxes. But what I found was everything that I was trying to do to be seen, to be somebody, to be living in a life that I thought I needed to live, it was just box ticking, and there was no real fulfillment. I didn't think I had a purpose, and you know, it turned into depression, turned into this, you know, I hated myself so badly that, you know, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be here because I thought I was more of a burden. I thought what I was doing was more of a burden. I lost motivation. I lost everything. I lost myself completely, even though I didn't really know myself in the first place. But I was just like a waste. I thought I was a waste of space. And this, you know, got me into that zone of, right, I need some help. I don't know what that looks like. I went to the GP. I filled out the questionnaire, you know, to get a mental health plan. And then I was just like, how do I find a psychologist? How do I know where to start? What are they going to think of me? You know, someone who'd struggled with anxiety and worried about what everyone thought of them. I didn't know where to start, but I needed help. And so I went down the traditional path of going to the GP, getting a mental health plan, and finding a psychologist. You know, even back then, it was Google, right? You're like, right, psychologist near me. And then you look at the reviews and you have no idea who you're going to get or if they're going to get it or what to do. But I started. And I went, you know, I found somebody and I went and I followed, you know, the process with lots of anxiety, and we dove into kind of my past. And you know, I did this process, this psychology process, for over 9 years. I went to the psychologist. It started off weekly, it went to fortnightly, and then it went to monthly, and then it would go back to fortnightly. And this was like this for years. And I went onto medication. And I started to implement the things that, you know, my psychologist was telling me to do. And, you know, you did the cognitive behavior therapy and, you know, into the mindfulness and, you know, looking at the things that did make me feel better. And so I did these things, and I did them because that's what they were telling me to do. And it was like this, again, you know, coming from someone who wants to please everyone, it was as if, looking back now, it was as if I was doing it to force myself to get better, like I needed to do this to get better. And so it was like this psychological game inside my head of, well, they say that when you exercise, you feel better, so just do more exercise. And I then became quite addicted to exercising. And it was like I just, every kind of moment of every, you know, point I could have was to exercise. But I was still drinking quite heavily because, again, that was a numbing agent. But I felt, you know, embarrassed and ashamed to actually share that with my psychologist because my anxiety was there. I was like, well, if I tell her how much I drink, you know, is she gonna you know, send me away? Is she going to, do I have to do Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, AA? Like, you know, again, someone with anxiety, you catastrophize everything, overanalyze everything. And so even these, you know, coping or management strategies that I was being given by my psychologist, they actually turned into this addictive kind of band-aid. It's like, right, well, I'm not feeling well. Quick, go for a ride, book in a class, go for a walk, get outside. You know, and then when my head would start to get noisy again, my mind would start to get noisy, I would have a drink, or I would, you know, try and be mindful. I'd try, right, maybe I need to do yoga. Maybe I need to go and do this mindfulness thing. Like, Lou, are you giving it a good crack? And be like, not really. Okay, well, book into another yoga class or a meditation class. And so I would do these things, even though inside I'm just like, oh, this is just not, doesn't feel right, doesn't feel me. I'm bored shitless. But Lou, come on, you need a try. This is what would go through my head. And so I'd just keep going and going and going. And, you know, the game inside my head was, well, Lou, you've been going for a while, so you must be getting better, you know. But the truth was, I wasn't. It was making it worse. For me, and again, please know, this is for me personally. It was making it worse. I felt like, you know, after trying all the things, and I did try different psychologists, and I ended up going back to this lady, and it wasn't me. It was like it was Band-Aids. I just felt like it was just Band-Aid after Band-Aid, and there were some, you know, times through this process, through over a decade of trying to, you know, cure my anxiety or come out the other side or be to give less fucks. Like, my dream was to just not care about the small shit. I just wanted to be able to go to the shops to do the food shop and not get fucking anxiety about what people are thinking of me or what I'm buying or am I buying enough and the overanalyzing or is it healthy enough or should you buy that or should you not? And just the second guessing, I would get anxiety around, like, I would choose a checkout where there were no people, and I would even, like, look at the checkout operator to be like, is she going to judge what I'm buying? Like, I was just buying fucking groceries. But I had this, like, hardcore anxiety around, you know, about shopping, about, you know, I would have to drive to, I'd have to go to the same shop around the same time. I would park in the same bay. Like, it was bad. Like, this is just one aspect of my day, of what it was like to be inside my head. But I was just like, this is me, you know. I'm trying to be mindful, and I know in my head's like, let's try something. Let's step outside the comfort zone. And I would, but it would actually exacerbate my anxiety. So I'd try to go to a different shop, a different Woolworths, you know, a different Coles. Or I couldn't go to Woolworths. I'd have to go to Coles because it was safe for me because I knew everything, you know. And I got to a point, I didn't want to live like this. And when I was on medication, please know, again, it's my personal experience. For me, it turned me into a zombie. I felt like a zombie. I felt like I had lost my spark. Even if it was a mask-wearing anxious spark, I had lost it. I was a zombie. There's no really other way that I could describe it. I was just churning. It was just like, okay, yay. Like, yes, it reduced the anxiety, but it reduced my meanness. I was just like this body, this zombie, saying yes, okay, no, I might, you know, I might stay here, or yeah, let's go. And Oh, it was just, and it was gross. And I felt, I didn't even tell my GP or my psychologist that I'd decided to not take it anymore. And again, please note to consult your GP and psychologist. This is my own story. I am going to reiterate throughout this whole episode because I believe it's important. Every single one of us is at a different point on our journey. And for me, I was just like, right, I'm going to go off it. And that'll probably bring me more anxiety because all the what if scenarios and, you know, my what if scenarios about what if people will know. A lot of people didn't know I was on medication apart from my partner, now husband. And I didn't even tell him that I came off it, but he knew. He's like, are you taking your medication? And I was like, oh my gosh, I really don't want to, like, no, I'm not. And then like, whoa, that, you know, oh my gosh, is he going to leave me? Like, have I fucked up? Do I go back on it? Don't I? You know, oh man, it was just so hard. And but like the deep inside me was just like, it's just, I don't want to be a zombie. I want to find me. I want to birth me and own me. But yet all these traditional strategies weren't feeling right for me. And I didn't talk openly about how I was feeling. Majority of my family and friends didn't know that I struggled so badly because I was Lou. I was like, woo, outgoing Lou, doing all the things Lou, party Lou, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was just really bloody good at wearing my masks. So good. And, you know, I got to this point where, so I'd done therapy for nearly a decade. I'd tried the medication. I went into a self-help, you know, spiral of, you know, read the books, get the books, read the books, do the free courses, you know, look, you know, join Facebook groups, join all the groups, get all the free downloads. And there were elements of some of that stuff that I'd done. You know, I don't think podcasts were that big then, but it was like the books, so I'd be ordering all these books. But I still got anxiety around ordering these books about what people will think if they saw these books, you know, because to be honest, I had this judgment really around people that were doing self-love and self-help. And I felt like there was this, I don't know, there's like this stigma around that and what it looks like. And to me, you know, back then it was like, oh, that's just like fluffy hippie shit, you know. And I didn't want to then label myself as a self-love hippie person, you know, and it's uncomfortable to say that because that's probably what I am now. You know, but this is where when you do the deep work, you can really pull yourself up about what is the deeper thing here. And, you know, what worked for me was part of it. Part of this journey was to try all the things. But the biggest thing that supported me in getting out the other side was building enough confidence in myself to own that this stuff was not working for me. I tried it, I tested it, I gave it a good hard crack, but the truth was it wasn't me. And when I came to that realization, it was scary, yes. It was scary because I was like, shit, man, am I just going to live like this forever? Am I going to just live in this fucked up head and just have to deal with the fact that I stress and worry and overanalyze everything? You know, and I was just like, well, I've got this far in life, maybe I just have to accept it. But the point of me accepting that certain methods of therapy, certain methods of, you know, self-help, self-healing, self whatever you want to call it, you know, personal development, there's areas that just weren't me. And it was actually adding to my anxiety and adding to my lack of self-belief. And so this awareness, when I talk about what worked, it's about having that gut awareness. Even if you haven't found yourself, if you feel lost, if you feel like you don't know what you're doing with your life, if your anxiety is controlling you, if you're ticking boxes, if you're a people pleaser, doesn't matter if you categorize yourself under all of that, every single one of us has this gut thing deep down that's kind of being like, oh, you know, that's not me. And when you can come into trusting that, and in a way, in a, you know, cosmic woo-woo way, when you can start listening and start following that and dive deeper into that, that is what is going to get you out the other side of anxiety. Because when you can build that little bit of like, right, this is not me, but I am so fucking determined to find what is me. What do I need? What do I need to get me through this, to learn more? Like, I had this craving of, why am I like this? Why am I like the way I am? Why do I worry about X, Y, and Z? Why can't I just be me and back myself and trust myself? It was that deep why that I had so much determination and passion and energy for, that I was like, right, I'm diving in. Guys, I'm diving in, going down, down, down. And what worked was this process of starting to get really bloody honest with myself and writing down. And this is, it's such a funny story, because I categorize, you know, the people that wrote in journals, that, you know, wrote daily or write in the journal. And back then I was judging that, you know, and that's like, apologies for all the journal writers back in that day and now, but I didn't realize how powerful it is to firstly be able to get honest with yourself and write it out on paper. Because when you do that, that's when you can start connecting bits together. You can start connecting those puzzle pieces of why you are the way you are and who you are. When you're able to get honest with yourself, get it out on paper, it is completely life-changing. And what I realized, because I asked myself this question of, I know all these people are saying, you need to write, you need to get it out, you need to find something that's going to enable you to, you know, like, let this shit out. I knew I needed to write. But the first kind of step was learning why I was so scared to write and why I had this judgment around, you know, journaling. And I had to get honest with myself about that. And this is, you know, part of this starting point was learning, why do I have judgment around people that journal? You know, what is it there? Because it's never the other people. It's always internal shit. So when you're catching yourself judging, that's your own shit. You know, and it's a hard thing to swallow, but it's the truth. So get curious around those judgment moments in your life. And even when you're worried about people judging you, that's your stuff. So dive deeper in that. Get curious. Why, if you get worried about people judging you, what it is, the core of, like, the general core of that is because there has been a point in your life where you have judged people for that same scenario, the same thing that you're doing, or the same, you know, thing that you're saying, or whatever. So it's about going back into that. Again, it's this deep dive, right? And it isn't a quick fix. Can you get out the other side of anxiety? Yes, you can, but you've got to do the work. It's not a quick fix, but it's this incredible, empowering, life-changing, eye-opening journey that every single human, I believe, should go down. Getting to know who you are so your life can be lived as you. So that you have confidence to be able to get through the hard shit in life. You know, so what worked for me was diving deep, was learning how to get vulnerable with myself, was learning how to write. And it's simple, but it's life-changing. It's learning, because when you can move through those barriers of how do I get, or learn, or master, you know, how do you get vulnerable with yourself? When you move through that, that tool of mastering vulnerability is with you for life, and that will impact in the most incredible, positive, life-changing way in every aspect of your life, in your relationships, friendships, conversations, careers, you know, in your parenting, in your whatever it is that your life, whatever's ahead of you. When you can master that, oh man, you are like, watch out, world, because you are going to find yourself. So you, with the writing out, for me, I had to get honest with myself about what was it that was bringing these judgment feelings up, and what was I so scared of if I did write my honest, you know, vulnerable self out on paper. There were so many elements. There were elements of, I'm scared what I'm going to write because it's not going to be pretty. I'm scared what I'm going to write because it means I have to take action. I'm scared what I'm going to write because what if someone finds it? You know, in every question that I just said there, there's even deeper layers. But what happens is when you uncover one of the roots of these layers, it connects with the next one and the next one and the next one. So you, again, you're building this confidence in you. You start to make sense. Your life starts to make sense. Your mind starts to make sense. Your past actions, past behaviors, the shit that you're holding shame over, you know, that you're holding guilt around, that makes sense. So you can then feel confident in owning it. Owning the guilty parts of your life, the shameful parts of your life, and turning that into who you are, a part of you, a part of your story that you can then, like, own. Like, you can own, like, when you can own all of it, that is vulnerability. That is powerful. That is beautiful. Because with that will come those deep connections that I know you crave, because you no one can change that from you. And those, you know, shameful, guilty, you know, hard, challenging, traumatic times in your life have enabled you to build strength, resilience, passion, determination. You have enabled you to make changes for the better, have enabled you to make choices, to make changes. And so for me, as a general kind of finish here, in can you get over anxiety? Yes, I believe you can. What works? I can't tell you what works for you. But what I know to be true, working with my clients and teaching what I teach and my own experience, is that when you can get vulnerable with yourself, when you master that and you choose to make time carve time and put your learning about yourself as a priority, one of your priorities, that is what is going to work. Whether it's doing that and going to a psychologist, doing that and getting a mentor, doing that and surrounding yourself with people that are doing the same thing. But it comes back to you. I can't give you the answers on how you are going to get out because that's your own journey. I can give you the tools and the journey and share my own experience to open up a new perspective. Because that's what I unknowingly did for myself. I opened up myself to a new perspective. When all the traditional shit was not working, I nearly gave up. I nearly thought, I just have to live like this because none of that's working and I'll just keep doing it here and there just to tick the box and show that I'm trying to, you know, sort my mental health out. But the fire in me, the determination in me was just like, I know that I've got more to give in this life that is me, that I can be proud of, and I'm going to find it. And what didn't work for me may work for you. Again, I can't give you those answers. But what I can do is share my perspective and my journey, which is what I do, and show you and guide you through the exact steps, if that's something that you feel called to do. If this resonates with you and you're just like, yes, Lou, I'm the same. I'm like that. Nothing's working. Then it's time to flip your perspective and dive deep. And you may think, I have done the deep work, Lou. I have done this. I have done that. I get that. I thought I did. I did it for over a decade doing all the things. But it's about getting honest with yourself. Are you just continually putting band-aids on and using management strategies to get through life? Or are you making the decision to make a big change and take action that feels right for you, even if it's scary? It's scary. I know that. I was there. I looked at what wasn't working for me, even though it was all the traditional stuff, everything that everyone tells me to do, write affirmations, read this, listen to that, do some mindfulness, do some journaling, go for a walk, change your lifestyle, go talk to someone outside. I was doing all that, but I was lying to myself if I said that I was getting better, if I was becoming more me, or was becoming less me. It was more masks, more band-aids, more pain, more loneliness on the inside. But I changed my perspective. I used that anger and frustration and determination to be like, I'm going to dive in and dive deep and let's do this, Lou. And that is a snippet of what worked for me and what didn't. And I want to end on every single one of us is at a different point in our life in terms of our mental health journey, in terms of our life experience, in terms of what chapters we're in our age, in our family life, in our career life. None of that matters. None of that, it doesn't matter at what point you are in your life. If you are at that point of I'm ready to live as me and own all of me and get rid of this anxiety which is controlling me, when you're at that point and you need that different perspective, you need someone to guide you that gets it, that has been exactly where you are, I'm here. I am here for you. I have my four-month signature program, which I guide you through everything that I did. And the doors are now open, so check the link in the show notes. Reach out to me on socials. Just direct message me and share with me how this episode, how the work that I do has resonated with you, has impacted you. Let's have a chat. Jump on a free call with me. I teach everything and the exact process that I took to get out in my 4-month signature program. I only run it twice a year with a small number of people. It's completely life-changing, and I truly hope that you make that change. You shift into your desire and determination and passion to get out and start actually living. Thank you so much for being here, for listening. Check the show notes. Jump on the information page about my mastermind. We start at the end of April, so doors are closing very soon. Big, big love.